Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners, we come to order. This date, Tuesday, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2015. It'd be a good time if anyone has a cell phone or other PDA device, go ahead and put them on silent, not to disrupt the meeting. And if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number three, this is discussion of possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, March the 17th, 2015. Anybody have any questions on today's approval of the agenda? Mr. Phillips?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. 17th of March, 2015. Item number three, discussion possible action. This is discussion before the approval of today's amended agenda for the 17th of March, 2015. In regards to the consent agenda, Mr. Chairman, I sure would like to pull item number seven, the approval of the February 2015 Treasury Report. Can we discuss that separate from the consent agenda, please?
Sure. Any other discussion on today's agenda? Hearing none, looking for a motion for approval of today's agenda, with the exception of item 7.
I move to approve the agenda for March 17, 2015.
What day of the exception of item 7?
Or 17, I'm sorry. March 17.
I'll second the motion.
Move to second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. We'll go ahead and hear item 7 right now. So, Mr. Phillips, would you like to let us know what your concerns are with the Treasurer's Report?
Right on. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Mark Joseph Phillips, a Story County resident. Now I'm speaking to agenda item number 7, discussion before the board approves the February 2015 Treasury Report submitted by the county treasurer for board approval. And I'm looking at today's packet. I don't see it. But specifically, I would like the record to reflect the park fund balances is submitted by the county treasurer. I don't see the treasurer's report here. If anybody has it, you can just chime right in here.
I don't think I understand exactly what your question is yet, Mr. Phillips.
Well, the treasurer's report apparently is not in the packet. And if you do have a copy of the treasurer's report, could we read the balance of the park fund?
Okay.
I do see it, Mark.
On page 1, under item 190 park fund. There was a negative balance of 210396.
Let the record reflect park fund balance reads a negative
210396.
$21.
$2,103.96.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. This time, commissioners, are looking for a motion to approve item number 7.
I'll offer the motion to approve item number 7. Approval of the February 2015 Treasurer's Report.
I'll second that. The question as to the amount of $2,100.
Been moved and second for approval of item number 7 under the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 4, discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for February the 17th of 2015. Does anybody have any discussion on the minutes of February the 17th's meeting? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I move to approve the minutes for February 17, 2015.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second for approval of the minutes of February the 17th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. That is the end of the consent agenda. Move on now to item number 9. This is discussion with no action. Presentation discussion by Nevada Department of Transportation officials, Comstock Mining, regarding the physical condition, structural integrity, and other conditions of State Route 342 adjacent to the Lucerne Pit, Southern Gold Hill, Story County, Nevada. Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, I'll, if you want, go ahead and give just a very brief introduction of what we have in front of us. Comstock Mining is going to give an update to the conditions that apply to State Route 342 reconstruction down by the Lucerne Pit. I'm prepared to discuss a little bit of a meeting that we had with the Attorney General's office and NDOT staff yesterday with regard to this whole matter. Probably have about 5 or 6 matters with that. But for those in the audience that aren't quite aware of what's going on, this is a standing item we have on our agendas that allows us to provide updates, allows Comstock to provide updates, as well as NDOT when major things become applicable, so we can update the community as well as the staff can update the commission on what is occurring with regard to getting the road restored back to its usable state. So at this point, I'd be happy to go ahead and pass it over to Comstock, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Very good. Mr. Joy, would you like to start off?
Morning. For the record, Ken Joy, Comstock Mining. This is our bi-monthly update, as Austin illustrated. So let's get into it. So these are the tasks. This is kind of the progress of where we're at. The items that we've completed so far are site topographic survey. We've issued that to the consultants. We've confirmed our land status. We've provided our SWIP plan to NDOT. Our geotechnical investigation is about 75% complete. We have established AT&T plan, and we moved the poles Saturday. The roadway design is about 80% complete. Engineer the Gold Canyon Creek, that is about 70% complete. We have submitted and received the temporary NDOT permit, and the temporary NDOT permit allows us to perform all the work associated with phase one of this project. The ramp coming out of the floor of the Lucerne pit is almost complete. It should be complete as of today. We've started our waste rock management plan, which is part of the NDEP requirements. We've submitted the nationwide 27 permit. We've condemned the north quarter of the realignment of phase one. All the asphalt has been removed, and we've started dozing that in. We posted the $3 million bond with Story County on March 2nd. Some of the milestones that I think all of you have seen previously, the right-of-way agreement between county and NDOT started a little bit late. Actually started discussions yesterday with NDOT. Austin, would you like to add any comments regarding that agreement at this time?
I'm going to, yeah, but Mr. Joy talked about it being a little bit late. There was some confusion on whether NDOT would require a surety bond in addition to Story County surety bond. Pursuant to our meeting we had yesterday, our surety bond suffices for NDOT's requirements. So Comstock wanted to make sure they didn't move forward until all of that was clarified, and it is.
Thank you. We've removed, as I said, the 18 feet poles along the highway. The historic dump removal has started today. As soon as that's complete, we're anticipating that we'll start work for the capping the Silver Hill shaft around the 17th of next month. As soon as that's complete, we can backfill the road prism with compacted material. We're anticipating completing the bypass construction of phase one, 6-8, and we would open it to the public thereafter. It's kind of the 2-week look ahead that we proposed. We'd like to submit to NDOT the roadway design on March 18th. We've allotted them 30 days for their review process. There, within this, there's essentially four categories that we would have to submit for review: the roadway design, environmental, geotechnical report, so on and so forth. We are going to submit to Story County Building Department tomorrow. NDOT County bond reconciliation was achieved yesterday from the meeting. Phase one dump started today, and the SWIP update, we're anticipating that they would come back with any updates by the 19th. Here's some of the photos of the work that we have started to do. Pole line, this was taken Saturday. Here's the start of the ramp. This photo's not quite up to date, but this is the start of the ramp coming out of the floor of the Lucerne. Should be pretty much complete by the end of today. So I'd like to discuss some of the potential delays that we could foresee. Increased regulatory agency visits. This is visits they take away from all of our resources that we have dedicated to the project, and it's unpredictable. I just wanted to make that point. NDOT bond, that agreement between CMI Story County and NDOT, as I stated previously, we had that discussion yesterday. I haven't seen anything formal as of yet, but we at least have a path moving forward. And then as far as the constructability of the roadway, if there are any shaft stability issues that we can't anticipate at this point until we get it opened up, those could cause delays, meaning if the walls of the shaft are unstable and we have to go outside what we're anticipating to do to make it stable, those sort of things. Well, we're on our way to the completion of phase one.
Terrific. Do we have any representatives from the Department of Transportation here today?
Not today, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to cover all the items that we talked about in a kind of a milestone meeting yesterday. And I asked NDOT, they didn't appear to be needed today, but in the next meeting, wherever there are significant increases or changes in this, they're certainly welcome to bring people up.
Okay. We can, are there any questions from anybody in the audience pertaining to the road and realignment, not to mining in general? Okay, Mr. Phillips.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Again, Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. This is in regards to the bond that's been posted on the second day of March. Apparently, Lexon Insurance Company agreed to add a rider to an existing bond, 111-3085, which was effective 23rd of October 2014. This general purpose rider was not filed until the 9th of March, and I'm wondering why the delay of a week. Apparently, this paperwork was filed too late to be in the package. Apparently, Lexon Insurance Companies in litigation right now here in the state of Nevada for reasons I couldn't determine. I see that the bond is at, the principal is Comstock Mining LLC, not Comstock Mining Inc. It's signed by an unknown agent with no notary. No notary on record. The bond apparently is not made payable to the Story County Treasurer. I could make a case that this bond is insurance fraud. So, boy, as soon as y'all can get together with our district attorney and have a good hard look at this, apparently this is a worthless piece of paper. I see that it's been added to after the insurance company agent gave their electronic signature. This is a real piece of work, and I hope you take a good hard look at this bond, alleged bond.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Mark, going through, we are working with the DA's office. And Keith Loomis particularly is going through all the language of the bond right now, making sure everything is what it needs to be. Comstock's aware of this, and they're working with us, and they've been completely forthcoming on everything. They say whatever it takes, if we need to make adjustments or whatever, that'll be done very expediently if needed. To give a, I don't know about Lexon being in litigation. I imagine insurance companies are always in litigation, but I can't speak for an insurance company because I'm not an insurance broker, but I imagine that's probably always the case with any insurance company. We'll look at the notary signature, but everything mining related is Comstock Mining LLC. All of their permitting is LLC, all of their special use, everything is LLC, not Inc., because LLC is the principal company that's involved in mining operations. But I will make a note to our DA's office also to look at that and make sure that is the appropriate application in this case with regard to the road and its interface with the mine. So I'll be happy to address all those matters.
Great. Does anybody else from the public have any questions? Mr. Wardenbrock.
For the record, Larry Wardenbrock. I live in Silver City. And I'm curious, in the hit list that Comstock Mining went through, they listed a number of things that were under design, including the realignment of Gold Canyon Creek, the realignment of the highway. They received approval for, additional mining to occur to the east of the existing highway. The new highway alignment is running to the east. They received approval for a haul truck crossing of that. I'm curious as to whether or not, and where somebody might find out, where those design parameters intersect with this current program. Where is the new alignment or the haul truck crossing going to be? How, if mining occurs to the east of the new highway alignment, how will that mining occur, and how that will affect what's left behind to the west of the highway, what mining might occur there. It seems to me like if there's, if these engineering design phases are going forward, that at least some preliminary designs would be available to the public to review. It's going to be a complicated process. The realignment of the creek through there is going to be significant. They're talking about moving a lot of material. It flows downhill. What, how are grades going to be established and all of that?
Thank you. Mr. Joy, would you like to respond to any of the realignment of the highway, realignment of the creek, or Mr. Joel Cover? I think it's necessary to go ahead and respond to future operations in mining, because that's not what this item on the agenda is for today. It's simply what is going on to remedy the problems with State Route 3.
Correct. Scott Jelkover, Director of Business Development for Comstock Mining. First, to address one of Mr. Phillips' comments on bonding, the state of Nevada, who is pretty thorough in their investigations and approvals, has approved Lexon as a bonding company, and if you look at our NDEP bond, it is now over $7-point-something million, and Austin has a copy of that most recent approval signed by Bruce Holdrum this morning, I believe. To address Mr. Warrenbrock's concerns, I believe at the next county commissioners meeting, as you saw, that we were about 80% done on the design. Hopefully by the next county commissioners meeting, we'll be able to show the crossings and everything in the design plan. So that is in progress, and all of those considerations on the creek, the elevations, and the at-grade crossing are part of that design.
Mr. Chairman, what Mr. Joel Culver is discussing is correct. That meeting we had with NDOT in the AG's office yesterday discussed quite a bit of the design drawings that are coming forth with regard to the timelines of getting Phase 1 and 2 completed. NDOT right now realizes that Comstock has completed 80% of their drawings. They believe it'll be about 100% ready in the next week or so. NDOT is fine with Comstock moving forward on excavation and moving dirt at this point. It'll take about that amount of time anyway. And by the time that phase is over with, they'll submit their drawings to NDOT. It'll be about an additional 2 weeks for NDOT to review those 100% drawings and get all of that completed and approved. So there does not appear to be any issues in the timeline of getting the road completed with that.
Very good. Would anybody else like to go ahead and ask some questions, give testimony?
If there is no additional public comment, I do have a couple things I'd like to just summarize today.
Okay, right. You can ask fellow commissioners if they have any questions as well.
Absolutely. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yeah, you showed a picture of a ramp. Is that your crossing the highway ramp? What is that?
That's the first phase of the ramp. The first phase would be the first leg coming out of the bottom of the pit in the blue shown on the picture above.
That's the ramp to cross the highway.
That's the ramp to get up to access Phase 1 dump material. As soon as that material is removed, then we would construct the ramp the rest of the way across the yellow crossing, or the yellow road.
Another question, this is the shaft coverage. Is that delay opening up the shoe fly, or the...
So
can that be worked on with the shoe fly in operation?
No. So not the issue...
There.
I'm sorry?
Not enough room there? Or
right. There's not enough room to expose the shaft to the limits we're anticipating, make the repair, and in fact some of the roadway embankment goes over the top of the shaft repair.
And Commissioner McGuffey, if you don't mind, we had talked at the last meeting, one of the challenges with that shaft currently is that shaft is mostly in bedrock, but the top 40 feet of it or so appears to be in that loose aggregate material. I'd kind of given that metaphor of, you know, digging your hand in the sand and the sand just keeps filling up the hole. Comstock will need to go down 40 feet to that bedrock level before they can put a cap on that shaft and then build a road very close to the shaft without that happening. I also want to clarify, too, that ramp Comstock is building is going to do two things. One, it's going to allow Comstock to go in there and do this excavation of the 40 feet to bring the ground to bedrock on which they'll build the road. And then if you look at the drawing up there, then ultimately there will be a crossing on that yellow shoe fly or a portion of that area, and NDOT's aware of this. Once Phase 1 is completed, while Comstock is completing Phase 2, and that being almost where you see the yellow dotted line in that area, Comstock will use that crossing and that ramp to remove that material so they can then finish building that road on the bedrock level. And so it'll kind of be a two-phase, but that ramp will provide access for both.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman Gilman?
A couple of thoughts. I would appreciate very much a copy of the benchmark list that you provided, and I thank you very much for the fast response on that. To have so many 100% tile completions is
is very much appreciated here at this end. And realizing that you have unknowns out there, for example, what you're going to find in the bedrock when you get down to the shaft mouth, et cetera, none of us can know what you're facing there. But it certainly appears to me that you're making every effort possible to expedite what's happening. And I think we need to give a shout out to NDOT as well. It's unusual for those agencies to move as quickly as they have been. And for us to be this far along, this quickly, everyone in Story County, Virginia City certainly thanks you for that move. That being said, I hope to see the bond reconciliation come together this week. I'm sure everybody is working hard at putting that together. And it seems like in legal documents, there's always the legalese that have to be addressed. And certainly I know that you're doing that. So my request would be critical. Expedite that. I think everybody will be a lot more comfortable when all that is run to ground. But overall, I'm going to tell you thank you very much for all the efforts that are being expended here on behalf of our county.
Here's the follow-up.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And tying in with what Commissioner Gilman just mentioned, that meeting we had yesterday, the Attorney General's office was there, in addition to four other attorneys and all of NDOT's upper management team that's involved in this project. And I made a very similar comment to our group there. And I didn't imagine I'd be in a room with five attorneys, NDOT's crew, and the Attorney General's office, and seeing really exactly what you just described, moving forward, common sense approaches, private sector kind of discussions, things on getting it done. The AG's office, and I explained why they were there, in which would end up being a benefit to all of us. NDOT and the AG's office would like to start phasing out this prescriptive right-of-way that exists through between here and Gold Hill. What currently exists is a road is paved over other people's land, and NDOT claims we own oil to oil. That means laterally as well as horizontally, and the land there under is not owned by the state for right-of-way purposes or anything else, but it's a prescriptive right, so that road does have the right, with a capital R, to move from point A to point B in such a way that NDOT specifies is safe. What the AG's office wants to do in this case is, once the road is completed, we have gone through this entire process, is to create an actual right-of-way beneath this portion of road. And that will create not only right-of-way for the existing pavement, but it'll create shoulders, it'll create all the land needed for all the appurtenances with signs and drainages and whatever kind of elements that don't currently exist. Comstock Mining, on the other side, on its side, is willingly saying we will go ahead and dedicate that land to NDOT, and then that road will become a permanent right-of-way. And I think this will be a good precedent set for future parcels from here to all the way down to Devil's Gate, and NDOT slowly but surely starting this process of getting that road within its total jurisdiction. So when problems like this happen in the future, we don't have all this, who owns the land, who takes the liability, what does Comstock do, or whatever owners do, what does NDOT do, it'll be their road, their property, they go ahead and treat it exactly like they treat any other road in the state of Nevada. So with that said, the question I asked, I don't know, 27 times was, will this cause any delay in this project? Is this going to bureaucratize the project? What's going to happen in this case? And after a three-hour almost meeting, no. It's going to be very simple. Everything will be completed, and then that dedication will take place, and it'll be done right, and it'll be done permanently. So I think that's a major element to this whole thing, in addition to all the parties cooperating with each other.
This appears to be a reversal of NDOT's position the last time that they met in this room, so that they didn't have any interest in acquiring any more roads or right-of-ways.
It is, and the AG's office is involved, and so there might be some element of that involved in this. But I think NDOT's position in this has been, their challenge with this road is not that they don't want the road, it's that they don't have rights or own the land or whatever. There's a lot of, I don't want to use the word clouded, but issues like that. And I think if they were to own the land, that they would start, okay, that's fine. It's like another road in the state and being an existing road, not taking on new things. But I think their challenge has always been, this is kind of a challenging situation because they don't own the land beneath the road. It's oil to oil, like I said. That would create, so that's essentially what we discussed yesterday at our meeting. Was that, as well as all these other elements coming into play, and June does still seem to be the target date for completion of the project for the Phase 1, and NDOT will approve all the plans. The road will be designed to their specifications, and they're working with us lock and step in the entire process.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Scott, do you or Ken have anything to follow up with? Anyone else have anything else to say? Close this issue and move on. Fellow commissioners? Okay. Very good. Thank you, everybody, for your testimony. We'll move on now to item number 10, discussion, no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. Okay, we'll start with the Mark Twain Community Center this morning. Mr. Engelbrecht, lovely wife Barbara, here today.
Mr. Chairman and all, my name is Ron Engelbrecht, Story County resident. Just wanted to bring you up to date on activities that the Mark Twain Community Center had mentioned previously that the computer lab was up and functioning. We will have a press release this week for the classwork to start. We will have training classes and also personal use of the computers by residents of the area that want to be involved in that. Secondly, we are doing a brief update on our bylaws. Just so you know, we had scheduled one meeting every month. Now we're going to have basically the third month meeting as kind of a social event as well as the business meeting, and that'll be open for the community to try and invigorate and stimulate the friendship, camaraderie, whatever, within the community. And lastly, we think we have the approvals and acceptance of the Veterans Memorial that we plan to build down there on the property of the Mark Twain Community Center. So it should take us a few months to do it, but there are some, well, let's say the excitement is increasing, and we're getting anxious to get rolling with that activity. So, and we appreciate the help of Sherry Nevin in getting some of this stuff completed. So that's it. Thank you. Any questions?
I gave you a personal thank you from my chair. You know, you all have come through a year of growing and all the elements that go into starting something new and the challenges that come along. And I can tell you from my chair, we are so grateful that you've invested the kind of time and energy that your board has. And certainly we can see that we're all going to enjoy the fruits of your labor. It's coming together. And thank you for doing that down there, Mark Twain.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. How are you doing?
Do you have a mailing, an email mailing, or anything going on?
Yes, we do have the website and the mailing, and I'll make sure you all have that information, okay?
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Dawson, do you have a report from tourism today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the residents here in Virginia City, the merchants, the department heads. I couldn't think of a better way to kick off 2015 special event season than the way we did on Saturday. What an event. I don't know how, every year I say, I don't know how we can get more people in this town, but I think we did accomplish that, and I don't know where we're going to go from here, but what a home run to start the year off. Mother Nature was certainly cooperating, and I don't know that I really came across one complaint, other than maybe too many green shamrocks on the boardwalk, but, you know, what are you going to do? Great way to start the year. And then second of all, just to let the commission know, that the VCTC met last Thursday and approved our tentative budget for 2015-16. With the exception of some capital outlay projects, it's completely balanced. So, with that, that's just a quick update, and I'll have more a little bit later.
That was a great event. That's it's one of my favorites that we have in Virginia City, and I've never seen so many people. It was totally amazing. Good job.
And thanks to you, Commissioner McGuffey, for jumping in and being a brave soul to be one of our judges for the oyster fry there. And congratulations to our senior center who won first place. They did an outstanding job and got a little money to take back to the senior center to do some good work with. So, yeah, congratulations.
Denny and his staff at Tourism did a great job, along with our special events coordinators, Liquid Blue. Yeah, it was a very well-run event. That's what we need to do, is flood the boardwalk with the visitors. It's great. With community services today, Sherry Nevin, do you have a report today for us?
Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a few things for you today. On April 1st, we're holding a workshop, Protecting Yourself Against Fraudulent Activity, at the Lockwood Community Center from 12:30 to about 2 o'clock. District Attorney Langer will be presenting that. So if it goes well in Lockwood, we'll take that on the road to our various other communities. Residential cleanup days have been announced. Those will be held in Virginia City on May 1st and 2nd at the transfer station on R Street in Washington from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. They'll be offering the same in Lockwood at the landfill out there over 3 weekends, April 9th through the 11th, 16th through the 18th, and the 23rd through the 25th. Materials will be coming out as far as press releases, Dill, and whatnot. We're working with waste management on that. The courthouse roof project, as you can see, is making significant progress. The north side of the roof is substantially complete. Hear a little bit of banging up there today. They're working on the south side. We're estimating completion here in the next few weeks. You know, significant completion. We have a few more little items that may have to come. But thank you for your patience on that, as we've had to close the parking lot and the south entrance to make that work. So that is really all I have for today.
I've got one question in reference to the courthouse roof. With the resignation of Shannon Gardner, who else do we have who's going to be doing physical inspections on this roof?
Chris Hood, the building inspector, is working on that. Jeff Holman from Public Works is actually taking over kind of the project management lead. He's doing a great job. They have weekly meetings on Tuesdays and weekly inspections on Thursdays of every week. So we're working through it. It's been a little bit of a challenge to lose someone right in the middle of the project, but I think we're making progress.
It looks really nice, the work does. I just don't want us to end up with another snafu after the last roof that went on here.
No, we're...
We don't have any leaks.
We're on top of that, so appreciate your concern. And any questions?
Follow up on the day more in Lockwood. Is that 12:30 to 2 p.m. on April the 1st?
Yes, April 1st. So it's not April Fool's. We'll actually be there. So.
No, I said first.
I've got a follow-up, too, on that. Sherry, is there a way to get Waste Management to cooperate with Mark Twain and the Highlands also with this?
We've tried, and unless we actually revise our entire agreement contract with them, there's no way. So that's going to have to be something that we look at down the road, opening up that contract and negotiating that. You know, they'll give us the 2 days here in Virginia City. We tried to get them to add a third day, no go. And of course, the Lockwood landfill, they'll offer for 3 weeks. But, you know, I mean, if people want to go down there, they can, as long as you can show proof you're a Story County resident. I mean, it's a haul to get there. But,
yeah, it's a long drive. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks.
Sherry? Under Planning and Human Resources, Mr. Osborne, anything to report on that side?
All right, thank you. A couple things. One, Pat Whitten sends his apologies for being unable to make the meeting. He's got a very family emergency situation going on, and he should be back this week, but he does send that. A couple things going on I want to bring to our attention. April 16th will be our next Planning Commission meeting, and that will have two signed variances. We'll likely have a subdivision for an industrial use at the industrial park, so it won't be about 12 parcels or so. And then that will also be for Title 17. I've held, I think, three or so workshops now with a community in each of the communities here in the north and south for just minor updates to the Title 17 zoning ordinance. It's not gutting the ordinance, but just bringing it up to par and little things that we've tested in the last couple of years since its initial approval that we find could be, you know, tweaked and adjusted a little bit. That will be likely up for an action item at that meeting and then brought to this board for a final review. I planner position, as we know, Desi Redmond will be leaving us for Texas. here in the next couple of days. I sent out a posting for a planner, and I think it would be good to have a very good, attractive pool, and I didn't quite get enough applicants that I feel would be good to do that. So I went ahead and reposted it. It'll create me a little bit of headache, but that's what you got to do to make it right. And I've restructured that position to be a planner one or a planner two. So it does say if a person comes in with one or the other qualifications, they would be able to fit into that position and be able to grow from there. So we'll see what happens. That'll close here just about a week from now, and then we can do interviews again for that position. Just so everybody aware, all of our employees, as well as retirees who are receiving health benefits from our insurance, there will be a benefits fair that we do annually every year, and that will be on Tuesday, March 31st, and Thursday, April 2nd. Everybody can choose either or of those, and each of those days will include two times that you can attend either the 10 o'clock session or the 1 o'clock session. What we do with our health benefits is once we do all of our negotiating, we do our benefits committee and all of that material, then we go ahead and move forward per our fiscal year, which is May 1 to May 1 for insurance for our benefits, and then we have a mandatory session here in the courtroom where employees will hear a very short presentation, and then we're going to structure this year a little bit different where there'll be more emphasis on question and answer and interaction with the group on questions regarding your health benefits, your life insurance, all that sort of matter. Fortunately, we're here at the last leg of this. We're not going to receive any insurance premium increases. That was a surprise to us. They had come to us with quite an increase initially, and we said, why don't we go back and do a little bit of bidding with some other carriers and see what happens, test the market. And St. Mary's, who is our existing carrier, came out exactly the same. And in fact, even incentivized staying with them by reducing the out-of-pocket expenses. So we're actually going to have a little bit better plan this year than we did last year with no increase whatsoever to the county. We're going to change some of our other plan up a little bit with our dental. We're going to go to Lincoln. They're going to provide a little bit better service at a similar cost, exactly similar cost. And last but not least, everyone in our employees need to know that the Nevada Deferred Compensation is going from the Hartford over to Voyer. And what's important about that is anybody that is on the Deferred Compensation Program will need to re-register all of their beneficiaries in order to receive benefits. So that's an important thing, that all the insurance transferred over, the beneficiaries did not transfer over. So our employees are quite aware of all these things, and once again, we'll have that open enrollment here March 31st and April 2nd for all employees and all retirees. And last but not least, and I'm not the one taking head on this, so I'm not going to claim really any involvement, but in case it's not brought up, DESE and the DA's office have really taken a leadership approach in addressing nuisances across the county. These are abandoned buildings like we see. We call the Bronx House down there in Mark Twain. That's the mobile home that's had its windows and doors blown out for 15 years or so. The Hoover House on Washington Street is another one that is completely filled to the ceiling with garbage. I've seen pictures of that. It is the most astonishing thing I've ever seen. It makes the TLC hoarding program look like nothing. It is really something. So with her leadership and getting our ordinances straightened out with the DA's office, creating worksheets and spreadsheets and very easy things that one can do to file a nuisance and follow through with us completing the nuisance abatement, the county has really taken a much more proactive approach in addressing these properties and getting them cleaned up. The Hoover property on Washington Street now is slated on a timeline to be cleaned, and Pat Whitten and the DA's office and other applicable parties with our team are getting this all straightened out, where a company's going to come in, they're going to get that material out of there, clean it up, and it'll be done, and another company will come in and abate the building itself, the portions of that that shouldn't be there. And this is going to be now happening very quickly. Bronx House, as we call it, down at Mark Twain is next on the list. And the DA's office has said, not speaking for the DA's office, but that they're going to work to personally have somebody notice the people in California that own that property, to have them noticed. And once that's noticed, then the DA's office is going to proceed. And I'm looking at Ann, if I'm stepping out of line here, in getting that abated as well as others across the county. So I'm not going to speak too much more on that because it's really not my area, but I wanted this board, as well as the people in our audience today, to know that that's being taken seriously and it's moving forward. That's it.
Very good. Good. You combined your office and Pat's office together on this dissertation, did you?
Marshall?
Yes.
You said the place on Washington, is that that big barn-looking building?
Yeah.
Okay. I noticed the guy's got like a stack of drive lines sitting out there.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's probably just the tip of the barrel, I'm sure. Now, I did connect with Desi. I have a contact, a guy in Fallon, who's a scrapper, and he'll come, and, you know, pending the owner's approval, he'll come and cut it all up, all the metal off, and he'll probably leave you $50.
Okay.
I think Surrey County's the owner.
Yeah. We are.
So if that's the case, this guy will come and clean up all the metal anyway. And he came out, I hired him for my mom's place out in Arrington, and he did an awesome job. He was referred from Carl Brooks, went out to the ranch out in Austin to clean up all his metal pieces and scrap and car parts. I'll forward you the
information. Appreciate that. Okay. And then I'll forward it to Ann and her team. Or if you want to forward it direct to her.
Because then now you got a now you got somebody to come and get it and take it.
Now we can recover some of the expense of cleaning it up.
Yeah. And I heard, and he does a good job. He cleans up after himself. He doesn't leave a mess.
Good.
Send it on.
Thank you.
Good. Do you have any questions?
None?
Okay. From Community Chest of the Library. Sean, do you have anything to report on today?
That's it.
None? Okay. Very good. Sheriff Fontenot?
Good morning. Just a few things. One, a couple of new faces you'll see when you come down to the office. As you know, Melissa's going to be going over to the comptroller's office. And the gentleman that we had in there is no longer with us, but we've got a couple of new ladies in the office that are getting trained, so they'll be up and running. Today they're down running about concealed carry permits, but Melissa tells me they're doing a great job on their training. So Brandy, the one gal, is from the Highlands. The other gal, Jennifer, is Deborah Burns' daughter, who works over in Ann's office. So I'm looking forward to getting them operational in the near future. The new cars that you so graciously allowed me to get are just about on the road. Matter of fact, they're going out this week after several setbacks and snafus and actually getting them and getting them equipped. We finally have them. I think we just need one radio. It's being repaired right now, and then you'll start seeing those out. They look a lot like the other sedans that we have, except you'll tell the difference because these have push bars on them. So, but they're pretty nice looking. I had one in a parade on Saturday, but they'll be out and about. And last thing, just an update. A while back we talked about a potential contract with the Bureau of Indian Affairs for housing tribal inmates. We finally did get a contract on it. In reviewing it and in talking with Deputy DA Loomis, he has some concerns. I had a couple of questions on it, so it looks like we may have a contract forthcoming in the near future. Just need to hash out a couple little details. So it doesn't look like it's going to be to the extent of what we had initially discussed, but that's one of the things that we need to find out is how they recalculated. See if they're going to be significant less number of people or the same number of people for a significantly less time. So, but we'll work through that, and if all goes well, we'll get together with the county manager and enter into a contract with feds.
Good.
Any questions?
So are you still going to need to expand? I know that was kind of on the heels there a couple of years ago.
No, we don't need to expand. I mean, we've got plenty of beds in there, and they're sitting there empty for the most part, which is why we held ourselves out for this contract. Might as well use the space, get something out of it. unless you're volunteering.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. DA Langer?
I do have something today.
We hold our breath.
DA Langer, no. I'm going to be short and sweet. Just to follow up on Sherry Nevin, the fraud seminar that we're going to have over on April Fool's Day in Lockwood, it's going to address a lot of issues from just these telephone calls that are going out to seniors and seniors writing checks to people thinking that they owe taxes, thinking that something's going on with their credit card, people getting their Social Security number, identity theft. Also, we're going to have Jen Chapman from the recorder's office come and talk about homesteading your properties so people will have the ability to protect their properties against fraud also. I think before, in my line of work, in the 28 years I've been doing this, you know, occasionally you'd get somebody that somebody stole their credit card, and that's usually because they lost their purse and somebody got their credit card and started using it. Now, it doesn't matter where you go. The hackers are out there that there's very few people I know anymore that haven't been hacked, that somebody didn't get their credit card number, that you didn't get a call from the fraud protection unit with the different companies. So a lot of these things are going to be addressed at this seminar. So I just wanted to reiterate that those that want to learn how to protect themselves better, that's what the seminar is going to be about, your personal property and your real property.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Thank you. Deputy DA, Mr. Loomis, anything today?
Nothing.
Thank you very much. Special counsel, Mr. Morris.
Nothing today, thank you.
Madam Clerk?
Nothing.
Nothing today? Out of the comptroller, Mr. Gallagher. Mr. O'Gallagher.
Top of the morning to y'all.
And the rest of the day for me.
For the record, Huey O'Gallagher, Irish settler. I have a couple of things before I, with the commission's indulgence, before I go into a little history lesson. But I got a call yesterday from the assistant state treasurer for the state of Nevada, which she is going to send me the interest calculations all the way back to 1992, so now we can get started on calculating the interest for the park fund, and that should be done. I'm 90% sure by the time we have our April 7th meeting, which is I know everybody's looking at getting that over and done with, and I am certainly one of those. Our first round of the budget talks has been completed or is soon to be completed. There are some things that we have experienced this budget cycle that for the 2016 budget that, obviously we have a lot of concerns and a lot of things that we're doing out in the industrial park, along with a lot of things that we got to fix as far as infrastructure, a lot of things that are coming down the pike, and looking at 5 years from now where we're going to be. So we have got a good first shot at this. We are going to go back through, though, because I'm sure once we see the overall bottom line before we go to meet with County Manager Putin, we want to have all the stuff done. Right now, Jesse Fain's done a remarkable job keeping all of this stuff together. It's kind of a brand new little process we're doing with trying to automate as much as possible we've got, and she has done a terrific job with us, and she should be complimented on keeping her wits about this thing. Today is St. Patrick's Day. And it is a day for all of us who are Irish, and probably all of those of you who wish they were. The tale of St. Patrick goes way back. It was an act of defiance that changed the course of the nation. Patrick lit a fire in pagan 5th century Ireland, ushering Christianity into that godforsaken mm-hmm. town or that godforsaken country that was not doing very well at the time. Until Patrick arrived, Ireland was a beautiful island surrounded by terrible darkness with warlords pretty much controlling everything. Patrick was born to a Christian family in England. His father was a deacon and his grandfather was a priest. But Patrick, in his early years, was practically an atheist when he was a teenager. Around 400 AD, Patrick was abducted from his village and thrown onto a slave ship bound for Ireland. Patrick was sold to a chieftain named Milshu, where he tended to his master's flock. One night, as Patrick was praying, he heard a voice that said, "Your ship is ready." Patrick escaped from his chieftain and traveled 200 miles cross country to the west coast. He found a ship ready to sail, but was refused passage. After a desperate prayer, however, he was allowed to board. Patrick was eventually returned to his home and family, where he began studying for the ministry. Patrick again heard a voice several years later and convinced the priests of the diocese that he was in to allow him to be a missionary in Ireland. Ireland was a land of tribalism, an island of war, an island of suspicion, and Ireland of violence and death. Patrick brought Christianity to that land, which was very, very hard fought. Now, there are myths that go along with a lot of the stuff that St. Patrick mm-hmm. did. One of them is, the myth is that St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. This could be no further from the truth. Actually, he didn't drive the snakes from Ireland, he drove the attorneys from Ireland.
Mr. Gallagher.
However, it seems that some of them were able to swim the Atlantic Ocean and landed in the United States, where I am told they are thriving. The Irish have been kind of ridiculed and banged on for quite a while. I mean, there was some, as you know, in Boston, there were those signs that the Irish need not apply during those old days of the potato famine when they originally came across from Ireland. And there's been several jokes and things about the Irish people. For example, the reason that God made alcohol was because he didn't want the Irish to rule the world. And there's another one that says, on St. Patrick's Day, an Irishman is never so drunk so long as he can hold on to one blade of grass and not fall off the face of the earth. Now, we all know that the earth is flat. However, it's got 500 yards of water before you fall off the edge of it. So a lot of those things were about the Irish, but they also had a lot of good things going for them. And one of the things before I stepped into harm's way, my mother was Lola Mae McCarthy Gallagher. She would give me an Irish blessing, and I would like to share that with you. And that blessing, as she would say, "Son, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be forever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand." Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. O'Gallagher. Conclude staff. Moving along now to item number 11, board comment. Commissioner McGuffey, you have anything today?
I do want to thank, well, they're not here now, everyone involved with trying to get the highway back open. Just for let them know that I do appreciate the expedition. The poles got moved a few days earlier than scheduled, so that's a good thing.
Vice Chairman Gilman.
No comment today, sir. Thank you.
The only thing I've got is at our last meeting, I was remiss in mentioning the passing of Dee Schaefer, longtime Virginia City and Lake Tahoe businesswoman, matriarch of the Territorial Enterprise and the Mark Twain Saloon. They came to town in the 60s, and I grew up with their children. They all worked in one of the businesses throughout the course of time. One went on to be a doctor, another one a firefighter. John ended up staying and running the family business here. So John and I have been friends for a long time. So anyway, we just need to mention the passing of Dee. She was a lovely lady. I think she was 90 when she passed, so she was part of the greatest generation. You see her, she went to work every day. She's one of those people. So, anyway. Let's see here. Okay, this is something that we have ongoing. Item number 12, discussion only, no action or public comment. Discussion and direction to staff regarding legislation or legislative issues proposed by legislators or by their entities permitted by the Nevada State Legislature to submit bill draft requests or such legislative issues as may be deemed by the chairman or board to be of critical significance to Story County. This is ongoing. We've got lobbyist Mary Walker and her husband, Steve, along with Bum Hess and retired auditor Maggie Lothar, who are down at the legislature every day attending public hearings and meetings for the protection of Story County from what we always find are unfunded mandates that always push down from the state. They're working on all the critical issues that pertain to Story County. Do you have anything in your notes to mention?
Nope.
Okay. Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Witten and myself, we meet bi-weekly basis with our lobbyists in Carson City, and along with the three other counties that participate with us, Carson City, Douglas County, and Lyon County. We're like a four-county consortium, which we all have a lot of special needs and some of the same requests and requirements. And so we all meet together to hash out the bill draft request and put in our suggestions and recommendations on how it should go forward for drafting language in these bills and pretty much trying to protect ourselves. So that's all I have on this. Does anybody else have anything to follow up on this?
Well, of course, being from District 2 in the Highlands, everybody's concerned about the Sunny Hills project. There's Mr. Garrett's trying to pass some kind of legislation, but we still don't know what it is. Talking with our lobbyists, they're kind of lacking information as well. They believe he's trying to slide something in the back door at the very end of the session.
Yeah, I don't know who they're going to go to try to bring this legislation in. Mr. Whitten had mentioned in one of our previous meetings that Mr. Gordon had approached T as I was with him after one of our meetings in Carson City and asked him if we would consider extending this deadline for an additional 2 years. And Pat had simply suggested that he bring that to him in writing. And to this date, I don't think it's happened. So,
yeah, I don't think so.
In any event, That's why we have paid lobbyists there to keep their ears to the walls to keep an eye on what's going on, anything that's going to affect Story County. All right, moving along now to item number 13. This is discussion and possible action, recommendation to award a contract to successful bidder for the construction of the Gold Hill Train Depot. Mr. Dotson, are you going to take the lead on this?
Yeah, I will. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, the VCTC took the lead on managing the Gold Hill Depot, if you will, in regards to special events, like groups, those type of things. The one thing that we needed to address was some occupancy issues, some ADA compliance, and maybe a few safety issues as well. And with that, we needed to add some usable restrooms, some access through the doors, improve, again, the restrooms in there, and provide a ramp around the side and a couple of little things. So we went through Mercedes Del Garza to draw up a design. Last month, we put it out to bid. And then on the 12th of this month, we, here in this courtroom, opened up these bids. There are four folks here listed here on the sheet that turned in their bid. Unfortunately, these bids came in 2 to 3 times higher than our projected budget. Even after meeting with the two low bidders and looking at possibly phasing this in over a couple different phases to accomplish our goals, I believe it's still not in our best interest to award these bids or any bid at this time. So staff would recommend that we deny these bids for now to give us a chance to regroup and understand or rather educate the folks out there what exactly we do need. Again, these are just too expensive for our current budget.
Mr. Commissioners, what Mr. Dotson's saying is we talked to County Commissioner or County Manager Pat Whetton, and he's aware of all the bids and how they came out, and it concurs that this just isn't really working out. No matter how you phase it, no matter how you look at this, it's still going to end up going up into these kinds of ranges. So it's really a team argument here that this should just be denied.
That's, we were going to, as my understanding is that our request from the Northern Nevada Railway Commission for the reconstruction of the VNT was they were going to go ahead and return some of these funds to us that we were going to utilize for this renovation project. I don't know if we've received those monies yet, but in any event, this is more than twice as much as we anticipated on receiving. So I'm going to recommend to the board that we deny accepting these bids. And we just go down the road and maybe piecemeal it in. Once another good reason would be is that current under Nevada law, we're over the $100,000 threshold of prevailing wage, which means we can anticipate probably paying 20 to 25% more than we should for a project of this size. With any luck from the legislature, they're working diligently to increase that cap from $100,000 to $1 million. Because all small governments like ours seem to get penalized by having any projects that's over $100,000 because it's simply we're going to have to pay more money. So,
did you make a motion?
I can make the motion.
I thought I heard one.
Yeah.
If you did, I second it.
Okay. I move that we deny the bids. Can you second it?
I second it.
Any discussion on this? This is open for discussion. Anybody like to give testimony on this? Hearing none, it's been moved to second to deny these bids. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Dawson. All right. Moving along here to item number 14, discussion of possible action to approve the second reading of Ordinance 14-261, an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 5.16, prostitution, to change the name to brothels, amending the procedure for revoking a license and changing the requirements on work cards and providing for other popular related matters.
Do you need to speak
on this, Mr. Chairman?
I do. Thank you. Per NRS 28 281A-420. It requires me to disclose a conflict of interest here. As a matter before this body, it affects my pecuniary interest in the Mustang Ranch facilities. And I believe this is a clear case of a disqualifying conflict of interest, and I'm going to be abstaining from voting or entering the discussions on the matter.
Very good. Thank you, Vice Chair Gilman. Mr. Morris.
Good morning, Board. Mr. Chairman, Robert Morris for the record. We're here today on the second reading, hopefully the final second reading, of Ordinance 14-261, amending the Story County Code dealing with prostitution. I would just like to point out a couple of the highlights just to make sure everybody understands the changes that we're making here. And just to give you an idea, if you look at page 2 of the ordinance, and it should be draft of March 17th, 2015, if you look at the end of 5.16020, there's a definition of premises, and that was added initially, but there's some underlying text that has been changed since the initial proposal was given to you. And so it's just to explain the most recent changes to the text are underlined, and so you can see what we've done most recently. And down at the bottom of the page of 5.16040, if you look at number 4, we added text in to make it clear the procedure for approving a general manager for a brothel license. We did that recently with Donnie Gilmore. During that process, it seemed like there were some changes that needed to be made, and so throughout the ordinance, you'll see more specific language about how the board is to approve a general manager. One of the biggest changes that was made is, if you'd go to page 9, it's 5.16.120, and it deals with the death, disability, or insolvency of a licensee. And what we did was we looked at Nevada State Gaming Regulations about how to handle in the case of death, disability, or insolvency, and we drafted the language that you see in that section. It's been worked on quite a bit. You can see that there's some underlined text as well to make it clearer as to how the process works, but in the end, I think it's a good addition to the ordinance. During this period of time, we've had a working group that's been very effective. Courtney Forster's here, Donnie Gilmore, Sheriff Antonoro, Pat Witten was involved, and myself. And I think we've been able to work through all the outstanding issues that we had and are satisfied with the text that's here. One of the things that I would point out and again, I was going to go back to the section 5.16200 on page 13. If you look at the sentence, we changed it from the brothel license may be suspended or limited without a hearing by written emergency order signed by the old text at one member and the sheriff. The text was changed to say two members of the board, so that can include the sheriff or other members of the board. Last night when I was going to the ordinance one last time to make sure that everything was good, I did find text on 5.16.120, which is the text dealing with death and disability. If you look at G on page 10, it says a licensee may be summarily withdrawn at any time in the discretion of the sheriff and one board member without the necessity of a hearing. I would like to make it consistent throughout the ordinance, and so I would suggest that we take out sheriff and say two board members. I do have a corrected piece of paper that I can insert into the ordinance if the board decides that they want to do that. If you make the motion to approve it, I would ask that you do it with this change recommended by our office. The final section that I was going to talk about was 5.16.220, and that's work card registration required. If you look on page 15 at the top, there was an issue of what to do with working women that had submitted all the requirements for a work card but had not received medical clearance and what to do with them. We did find similar language, I believe it was in ELCO, and we've determined that it'd be appropriate that they could remain on site for 48 hours to get the medical clearance, but they be segregated from any contact, customer contact areas. And so I think everybody agreed that that would deal with the problem of people waiting for medical clearance. And so unless there's any specific questions, I would ask the board to go ahead and approve the second reading of this ordinance.
Mr. McGuffey?
No, I've read this thing a few times. You're doing a great job there, Mr. Morris. You're kind of crossing the T's and dotting all the I's. I hope that the sheriff is okay with all of this. But there's a lot that affects them, of course. I think you've done a great job there.
Thank you.
Dale Inger, are you good with this?
Yeah, I just want to compliment everybody that's been working on this project. This has been a long time coming, and there's been so many meetings, and there's been so many changes, and by the end, everybody agrees on everything, which I think is wonderful. So I'm pleased with it. I'm pleased with the progress that everybody's made.
Very good. Sheriff Antonaro, you're good with this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Take discussion from the public. Mr. Phillips.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident, speaking to the brought the ordinance. Anyway, page 6, 5.16.070, restrictions on licensing. Number one is signs. Each licensed operation may have up to 3 signs. All off-premises signs must be placed in a location off of the right-of-way and in a manner as not to constitute a hazard. Commissioners, in your read, would that include the signs that are on C Street right now, which advertise a brothel. Apparently, these signs are on a right-of-way.
I'm not aware of any signs, Mr. Phillips, that advertise a brothel on C Street, and I do primarily sign work with our ordinances and our zoning, so can you, where are these?
Priorities?
No, where are the signs?
Oh, where? Okay, so this would kind of clear up that.
Well, no, I mean, I'm asking you where the signs are on C Street that are advertising a brothel.
Well, when, you know, somebody goes in for a steak and they think they're going to get hookers, that's confusing, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm only aware of that saying Mustang Ranch Steakhouse, right. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Any other testimony? At this time, I was looking for a motion to approve ordinance 14-261 with the corrected verbiage in the text to go ahead and make it uniform throughout the ordinance to include two board members as opposed to one board member and the sheriff. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 14-261 with the corrected verbiage to change the sheriff to two commissioners. Two what?
Two members.
Two board members. As the sheriff is
change
on the
to two board members.
Rothel board
versus the sheriff.
There you go. I'll second your motion. Move to second to approve ordinance 14-261 with the corrections to the verbiage. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Moving along now to item number 15, discussion of possible action. Approve the resolution 15-418, setting the fees for a brothel license, license applications, and penalties. Vice Chairman Gilman.
Mr. Chairman, NRS 2818.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest here. The matter before this body affects my pecuniary interest in the Mustang Ranches, and I believe this is a clear case of disqualifying conflict of interest. I'm going to be abstaining, voting, or entering the discussions on the matter. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. Mr. Morris.
Again, Robert Morris for the record. We've had this resolution following the ordinance since December. And at last meeting, there was a suggestion by the sheriff that had been added in. And basically, it was looking to apply an additional fee similar to a liquor license of, I believe that's 10% of the main license, and in the packet is suggested language that he proposed. Again, we discussed this during the meeting of this working group, and we did come to a decision that this $7,500 fee would be a good thing. And it would be to allow the operation of the brothel in an ancillary structure that is on property, that's separate property on a separate parcel, but that is owned by the licensee as well. And so looking at it, I felt that the language could be changed a little bit, and I do have some extra copies here if anybody in the audience would like to look at what I proposed. Do you have a copy? Okay. Here's some extra copies if anybody is interested. And if I could just read the text, it's pretty short. And so this is under the licensing resolution. The application fee is $3,000, which is the actual cost currently. The licensing fee for a brothel is $75,000 annually. That's the existing fee. What we've added is number three, and it reads, licensing fee for ancillary brothel buildings, $7,500 annually, payable monthly. Before the first day of the month, a licensee may operate brothel activities on contiguous property owned by the licensee under the existing brothel license upon payment of ancillary brothel building fee. And so it's very limited in scope. It has to be owned by the brothel licensee, and it has to be contiguous, so it has to be right adjacent to it. This was basically suggested by the sheriff. I want to give him credit for coming up with the idea, and after discussing it, we think that it's appropriate. The only other thing that's changed in the resolution is number four. We've added penalty licensing fees that are due are considered delinquent if not paid in full on or before the 15th day following the due date. A penalty of 10% of the delinquent amount is due each month. We don't have an existing penalty fee anywhere, and so we've put it into the fee resolution. So unless there's any questions, I think that this would put an end to our consideration of brothels and fees. And so unless there's some questions or problems, I'd ask that you go ahead and approve this resolution. Any questions?
Yes. Is there any language for determining the buildings?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I pointed out in the ordinance. If you recall, we put in a definition of premises. And so we said premises means the brothel building, accessory buildings used by the customers, and area within the fenced enclosure. And so I think the idea is for the brothel premises, you can have accessory buildings that are part of the brothel, but they're on the same parcel or part of the brothel activities. So we tried to differentiate between
maintenance shed or...
Well, that would not have brothel activities, so I don't think that would be covered by it. And so if there are other outbuildings, that would not be considered part of the brothel.
There's a lot of similarities, I think, in this as there is with other businesses that require licensing. If you have more than one bar within a building, you have to have a secondary license, which wouldn't be the full amount of that license, things like that. The penalty, I think, is the same as we have on other licensing that is late payment. There's also a 10% penalty on those, whether it's liquor, gaming, or general merchandise licensing. I believe they have the same penalty on those as well. So this is just making it all more uniform?
Correct, yes.
Which is good. Yeah, I like that.
Am I understanding that, let's say that your annual license is $75,000, and then you have a $7,500 annual license for another ancillary building?
Right.
The penalties do that. Do those get combined?
Yes, that would be part of the fee for the license. If you did not pay it, it would come under the penalty section. The penalty section applies to all fees that are due under the ordinance.
Thank you.
Any discussion on this? Gay Langer, are you good with this?
I am. Again, the same team that worked on the ordinance worked on this resolution, and there's been a lot of time and effort from a lot of different positions to look at this language, so I am good with it.
Sheriff Antonaro, you're good with this?
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to make sure everybody's on the same page.
And Pat Wetton's office would concur with everything that was said as well.
Okay. That being said, at this time, I'm looking for a motion to approve Resolution 15-418.
And that would be the one that's been handed out at the meeting today, just to make sure for the record.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 15-418, setting the fees for brothel licensing, license applications, and penalties.
I'll second your motion. We move to second to approve Resolution 15-418. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 16. This is discussion and possible action. This is approved agreement to purchase lot 320 North G Street, APN number 001-162-08.
Mr. Chairman, I sent you, and I also have a color copy of an exhibit that's in the packet. If you would like, I can either pass it to any of you or provide it to anyone in this room that's interested in it. It's just a little clearer than the one I made it in here.
You want me to start with this, Keith?
Certainly.
You can do the legal part of it.
All right.
I'll take the lead on this. I initiated this purchase, negotiating with Chester Eaton, Mr. Eaton, for the better part of the last 2 years. It became very obvious that his property is in the neighborhood that is where the community chest is, the municipal swimming pool, the park, the baseball field, and the senior citizen center here in Virginia City. It's been brought to my attention on numerous occasions that there's not adequate parking down there, especially if there's two things going on simultaneously. If there's an event going on at the park and in the baseball field or the park and the senior center, there's just not adequate parking. It's been also brought to my attention with my conversations with Sean Griffin at the community chest that the parking area that they currently utilize for their facility is going to come to an end as they erect another building on that site. So I took it upon myself to contact Mr. Eaton's son to start with. He and his father, Jack and his father, Chester, have bought numerous parcels of property in Virginia City, and have Jack is a builder, so they've developed some home sites down in that neighborhood. They bought this property in the housing boom and then sat on it for years during the recession. I think Chester's in his mid-90s now, and it's come to the conclusion that he doesn't want to develop any more housing up here. So we've had the property appraised by one of our appraisers that does a lot of work for the county. Out of some negotiations back and forth, Mr. Eaton has finally decided it was time for him to sell this property and move on. So with that said, this is something that has been on our infrastructure list for the last couple of years. We had listed it, the purchase perhaps of about $100,000 and the renovation of the property to bring it into compliance for adequate parking is another $100,000. I'm hoping that the renovation will cost less money, because it's cost us a little bit more money to purchase it than we originally had anticipated. So with that said, I'll turn it over to Deputy DA Loomis, but I'm willing to take any questions on this myself personally, since I was active in doing this negotiation. So.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Keith Loomis, Story County District Attorney's Office. This is an agreement which is for the purchase of unimproved real property here in Virginia City. pursuant to NRS 244.275, in order for a county to purchase property, you have to have the property appraised in advance, and that has been accomplished. The appraisal is in your packet. That was completed by Ann Delahy, and she has valued the property at $122,500. So the purchase agreement provides that the county will purchase the property for a lump sum amount of $122,500. That will be preceded by the opening of an escrow at the Northern Nevada Title Company in Carson City. They will prepare a title report for the property, and we'll have the right to object to anything that turns up in the title report if there's anything to object to, other than things that are of public record. The escrow is set to close on June 15, 2015. At that point, the county would be required to deposit the $122,500 into the escrow in order for it to close. We'd take title to the property at that point. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them or have the chairman respond to them.
Commissioners, have any questions for Mr. Willis? Okay, take any testimony from the audience.
Morning, Sean Griffin, Community Chest. I'd just like to echo Marsha's statements. Really grateful the county's moving forward with this. As you know, we're trying to finish the fundraising for phase two of the community center. That's about $1 million. This will substantially cut the cost for us having to improve, is it Sutton?
Carson
Street and the adjoining street on the east side. We'd have to do a whole lot of improvement on both of those to expand the parking. And, you know, this is a continuing issue, particularly now that baseball started, when the people are parked in that lot and the parents are coming, there's just not adequate space. It's just as simple as that. And so when the building's built, that space won't be there at all. So we really do need the additional parking, and the adjacent parcel is wonderful. We ourselves have tried to purchase it as well for the same reasons, and Mr. Eaton was not willing to do so at the time. So we're very grateful and very supportive of this, and I just want to thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Sean. Anyone else? Mr. Mitchell?
Thank you, Chair and Board. Clay Mitchell, Virginia City resident. I just had two questions. When I looked at the exhibit in the packet, there was a square footage number on the first page, I believe, that was different from the one that was in the appraisal. One was the one on the first page, if I remember, was just shy of 16,000 square feet. The other in the appraisal was about 21,000 square feet. I was hoping to get clarification on which is the correct number.
I can clarify that for you, Mr. Mitchell. The error is on the front page of the appraisal. I believe that she was taking the information off of the Story County. That was the prior assessment value is $15,996, and that got transposed on here as the square footage.
Gotcha.
Where the actual square footage is 21,764.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes.
Second question just has to do with the recency of the appraisal. I believe the date on it is October of 2013. And just wondering if that's recent enough to be considered accurate enough for the purposes of this acquisition, or if it's been looked at more recently than that. I know it's possible to have an appraiser do an update and, as opposed to doing a full new appraisal. And would that maybe that wouldn't be beneficial to the county if we were to look at that, but just wanted to point out that it had been some time that had passed since the appraisal was done.
Well, I don't know the legalese on that. I'd leave that up to Mr. Loomis. We do know that things have started to move, and so things have escalated. When it comes to the county, we can't pay more for a piece of property than what it appraises for. We could, though, in fact, pay less than. When it comes to people who own property here, our residents, we don't. It's not the county's intention to try to beat people down on their asking price. So we try to be fair and equitable to those persons who the county is interested in buying their property and they're willing to sell it to us, you know, as opposed to trying to do an eminent domain
you know, weigh and, you know, try to get it at less than maybe what fair market value would be.
Sure, sure. And my question doesn't really, it doesn't have to do with negotiating any harder, just making sure that the information's accurate.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Lewis, do you find any problem with the time differential?
Yeah, I haven't looked at that specific issue. My understanding is that the property prices or values have probably increased since 2013. If it's of a concern to the board, we could delay it for one meeting. That will still be within the 30 days authorized for acceptance. But I don't see it as being a significant issue.
Anyone else have any questions on this?
I agree that we need parking down there. It's like any kind of event, even just a community chest. Everybody's parking up the street, you know, so I guess there's a real need for parking there.
Well, from my chair, I don't think I wouldn't like to see the county go forward and pay for another appraisal because we've already paid for it. So, if I'm going to take the advice of legal counsel. If legal counsel doesn't have a problem with it, then neither do I.
Well, isn't it true we have an offer and acceptance on the purchase price? We have an offer and acceptance, basically, and we're waiting for the county's acceptance.
We have an offer from Mr. Eaton to sell the property to the county. Today is set for a decision as to whether or not the county wants to go ahead and accept the offer.
Seems to me it would be prudent to take the offer that's on the table today and the appraisal as of 2013.
Any other discussion on this? With that being said, I'll look for a motion now to accept.
I'll make a motion to approve the agreement to purchase lot at 320 North G Street, APN 001-162-08.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve the agreement to purchase lot at 320 North G Street, APN 001-162-08. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Great. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. All right. Moving along now under community development and planning, item number 17, possible action, licensing board second readings.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board. Community Development is recommending to approve items A and C. That's A, Pellet Construction, and C, Electrical Tech Construction.
Okay, looking for a motion to approve items A and C.
I so motion.
I'll second.
We moved a second to approve items A and C. Second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries.
And due to continued inspections, Community Development recommends to continue B, D, E, and F. That is B, SOAR Design, D, MDB Trucking, E, Ionics LLC, and F, Rich Doss Incorporated.
All right. For motion to continue B, D, E, and F.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to continue B, D, E, and F for the second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. All right. Now we get to the best part of the meeting. Item number 18, public comment. Mr. Griffin.
Sean Griffin, Community Chest. Two things I forgot to say earlier during our time to speak and staff comments. We're having our big fundraiser Friday, April 10th at Piper's. Susie Bagas, crossover country artist, is coming. I'd love to see everybody come. It's our big event to raise some funds for Community Chest. And secondly, we've been meeting with Sherry and several others, librarian Chris Plug, to help us get the library back to the status with the state librarian's office so that we'll be able to apply for grants in the coming year. We have to go back through a progressive process, and by July 1, we hope to submit a five-year plan for the library for that purpose. So, fingers crossed, we'll be able to apply for funding from the state for collection development next year at this time.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean.
Yep.
Who else do we have?
Gunther?
Nothing today?
Mr. Phillips?
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. Item number 18, public comment. Just a thought, in Story County, having a planning commission is optional. And my second thought, when it comes to, if it ever comes down to the county actually selling property that they own or working on leasing out county-owned properties, statute requires the commissioners to come up with an ordinance to establish a list of qualified appraisers in Story County. I understand that buying a property for a parking project doesn't require that, but it would be something for you to talk to the legal team about. You know, it's an ordinance that's not on the books now. And I'm still working with the Fair and Rec Board to hire or retain an attorney. I mean, I don't know what's taking so long. Commissioner Gilman, Chairman Jolkober have just been ignoring me. There's nothing in statute that I found that where anybody could assume that our district attorney would be required or even allowed to be the attorney of the Fair and Rec Board. So Story County Code relative to the district attorney's office is very obsolete. Maybe we could start the discussion on updating the code for the district attorney's office. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? Are we done? Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all for coming.